Dirty hands means clean theology. Can you dig it?
What is going on, all my local guys and gals and long distance pals?
We're back.
We're back. Oh, yeah.
We're back. We're back. We're back.
There you go. Promise fulfilled.
Oh, my gosh. That is horrible.
That was awesome.
That was on the fly, man.
That's our new intro for everything right there.
Just cut it just cut and add it on everything.
Slap it on everything. That's the new package right there.
We're back.
Well, I could have done it, you know, what's his name? Josh Turner, you know, just went real deep with it, you know.
I think what you should do is just you sing it a different song.
All my local guys and gals. Can't forget about those long-distance pals.
And that is pretty cool, and we're back.
We're back.
I think you just have to pick a different show every time. Just sing it, a different song. Put it to a different song every
time.
I love it. That's awesome.
Pretty good right there.
That was dynamite.
Yeah, go with the second one.
They're both sticking. Yeah, I think they're both sticking. I don't think I'm editing any of this out. That was dynamite. Oh, man.
Dynamite.
Exactly.
We got to get out of this basement. It's polluting us.
I'd say there's something that's taking you back to your childhood and go down to the basement.
Need a Doritos and a Nintendo 64.
And a 2 liter of Mountain Dew.
Yes.
And beanbags.
And beanbag chairs, yeah.
Yeah.
Sleep over at Ben's house.
Yay!
Party, yay! Some Domino's pizza back in the day. If it ain't there in, what, 15 minutes or something, it was free?
What was it?
30 minutes?
Forgiveness is divine, but never pay full price for late pizza.
Ninja Turtles.
That's right. He caught it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. 23 and a half.
And he say, the pizza guy is 30 seconds late, bro.
We're down here. Just slide it through the crack.
He's like, hey, you only gave me a 10. He's like, you're 2 minutes late, bro. He's like, come on, man. I couldn't find the place. They were Nephilim. They were mutants. You want to talk about dire wolves and genetic splicing, man? What was the Ninja Turtles? That was prophetic.
That is the truth. I mean, nothing new under the sun. All right, so let's go through. Let's give some baseline to this. So there's a company called Colossal. Colossal is the same company that says that they're gonna genetically bring back the woolly mammoth.
What do they call it? De-extincting animals.
De-extinction. They're gonna bring back the woolly mammoth. They're gonna bring back the dodo, and they're gonna bring back the thylacine, which is the Tasmanian tiger. But the one that I did not have on my radar, because I had been watching this stuff and kind of actually watched a couple shows on this because I find it kind of fascinating that we're seeing Jurassic Park come to fruition right before our eyes.
How did that turn out for you at old Jurassic Park?
So this gets interesting. Cause
dude got ate on the crapper. That's what happened.
Yeah, and you messed up them pretty Jeeps.
First he thought it. And then it happened.
Those weren't Jeeps. Those were like Ford Explorers. They had Jeeps in the field. The ones on the track were like Explorers. Yeah. But I don't think they ever messed up the Jeeps. I think the Jeeps were okay. I think the one got jacked up by the guy trying to steal our little embryos. He got stuck on a tree or something. Yeah.
You didn't say the magic word.
I love that. That movie was one of my favorites.
I haven't seen that movie in forever.
All right, so back it up.
Let's back it up, guys.
Dire wolves. They supposedly, and they have videos of this, and have videos of them howling and all sorts. And it's creepy, dude, if you listen to it. These little wolf pups howling. And they have supposedly, genetically, from a couple of different DNA sources, brought these dire wolves back from extinction, which they will tell you, which again, as for me as a young earth creationist, I don't believe, but they'll tell you that these became extinct about 10,000 years ago. This is mainstream science will tell you that they're brought this back from that long ago. on the side of the woolly mammoth that they've said was actually going to come start. They were going to plan on bringing it back this year originally. They've actually made woolly mice as their first test. And I've seen videos of this, whether or not it's real or whatever, but it looks very real. They look like they fuzzy, big, thick, fuzzy haired mice. And this is something we've talked about it before. Nothing new under the sun, right?
Yeah, what was it last year? We did that episode on that rant, that 70-something-year-old rancher in Montana that mm-hmm. was genetically manipulating sheep or
like,
rams. Yeah,
it was like a super-sized sheep with these rams, these gigantic horns.
Yeah, but I thought they were extinct at first, but it turns out that they were like an endangered ram from like Kazakhstan
But he was mixing them with like bighorn sheep, I think.
Yeah,
and they
like
were
a 300-pound, like 3 foot tall freaking ram,
but it
with
was like
horns like
4 foot wide or 5 foot wide horns.
Like 300-pound ram.
Yeah,
it's a longhorn ram.
It was like that.
A longhorn bull.
But those
cow,
that was scary enough because he was literally like this. You think this guy in Montana basically was doing this in a little lab he had out there where he was.
Yeah, he had a Jurassic Park style ranch where people paid thousands of dollars to come and hunt these, one of a kind animals.
And that was pretty crazy. But now we have this dire wolf thing, and this is so. I think about this. The woolly mammoth thing. It's cool and all, but what they've said is they're going to use the DNA of an Indian elephant because it's the closest genetic relative, and so it's not. It's
a kind, a like kind.
A like kind, which is what they did in Jurassic Park. They actually used amphibian DNA to fill in the holes in Jurassic Park, but in the holes in the DNA, the chain, which is actually...
It's a frog, wasn't it? Because I had it in their animation video.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and it was a frog that supposedly could change sexes. And that's how that happened in the movie. But then you have the thylacine.
Turn the freaking frogs gay.
But they have
Alex Jones.
They have the thylacine, which is the Tasmanian tiger, which is a marsupial, but it's a predator marsupial, which I don't know if it ever truly was extinct. There are people that still hunt for them and say they see them and things like this randomly in Australia. But I mean, the Australian outback is like, I mean, there could be dinosaurs living out there. We wouldn't know. I mean, it is crazy out there. And then you have the dodo, which is just a random bird. But it's funny to me that they bring back the dire wolf out of anything. And why pick something like that? This is an apex predator that would be, the size of, if not slightly bigger than a tiger. You're talking about 4 foot at the shoulder. You think about how tall are you?
Six, yeah.
You're about 6 foot as well.
Yeah.
And I mean, that means that 2/3 of your body height, right about here, right about where my ribs start, that's the back of these things. This is a wolf that big.
You could He-Man ride this thing.
Yes. So if it's that big, if they actually get to that size.
Which I think that he said that, if I remember right, don't quote me because I've had people call me out when I misquote stuff. This is off the top of the dome here, people. But I think he said they were like 6 months old or something like that now, but they're already just 6 months old. They're at like 60 pounds or something like that.
I thought it was
like
80 pounds or something I'd heard. It was something big.
They're already huge and not even
Oh, way bigger than most full-size. Yeah, but they're like a big full-size dog already. They're almost a regular wolf-sized wolf, like a gray wolf or something of that nature. I think, and I have to look this up to be honest, but I'm fairly certain that like timber wolves, things like that, get to that. I think the big end is like 120 pounds. I'd have to look that up to be 100% sure. Once again, don't quote me like Justin said, but I know they get, but these dire wolves are going to be almost double that size if this is truly what they've created. And going back to what you said, your question, do I believe that they've really done this? Or, because there's people that'll say, oh, no, it's just a genetically white dog that they've changed the color.
And put dress up on it to make it look like.
Or they've just altered the DNA for the color, which people can do that. Yeah. Obviously, we do that with, people do that with kids. I mean, you can pick certain attributes about a kid if you do,
some
like in vitro.
Some people are just purists. You know, it's like, you know, if it's not 100%, then it's not. But the thing is, they're extinct. You're not going to get that.
No.
But if it looks like a dire wolf, it smells like a dire wolf, it's as tall as a dire wolf,
and it
in my
eats
opinion,
you like
it. Is, you might as well call it a dire wolf, because they found a dire wolf tooth and skull, extracted DNA from it, and genetically created the dire wolf DNA strand. And I watched the Joe Rogan podcast with the guy.
It was like a gray wolf, though, to fill in
to fill in the gaps. But see, what it was is that guy, I watched that interview. It was fascinating with the guy that's over Colossal on Joe Rogan. He was just on there the other day. And he said, all they need is 10 repeating sequences to successfully clone something. He said the DNA samples that they took, they got 15 repeating strands. So that's almost 20% of the genetic coding. That's quite a bit. And like you said, they took a gray wolf and just used it because it was a light kind, and filled in the rest of the code. So, yeah, I mean, it's not a 100% pure dire wolf, but, man, it's the closest thing we're ever going to get to it. And you don't know, because it was synthetically made in a lab, but it was based and copied directly from a real DNA sample. I mean, it's what makes a dire wolf is this genetic coding, and they took it and remanufactured it.
So this is my question, then. This is the thing that irks me.
The answer is buy bigger guns.
That is a good answer. the and that actually plays into this.
But
my question is, okay, so for example, Tasmanian tiger, right? It is something that we knew was alive up until, I think, the 1930s. They had one in captivity. This thing has been stuffed. They have it. They have the whole skeleton. They have the fur. They have, I mean, everything. It's preserved. Why go and do a random dire wolf off a skull when you have something else right in front of you that you already said you're going to work on, that you have all the parts to? You probably can get the entire DNA sequence. Not saying you should, but saying you could. You have it all there, but yet we go to the dire wolf. I made a comment about this on, I can't remember who was it said it. It was somebody that I follow or something said it. And I said, I as the short-faced bear next. Because why pick a predator, an alpha predator like this, to put something out like that? What good, I mean, if you look in the past, I want to say 5 years or so, they reintroduced wolves out into certain parts of
Montana,
and the farmers are going up in arms, the ranchers, because they're killing all their animals. Now imagine something that's twice the size that's out there, and not only is it going to go after, if it doesn't fulfill its appetite with an elk or whatever, well, guess what? There's some people hiking over here. That's an easy meal. I mean, you can't, even a regular wolf, you'd have a hard time. I mean, it could take you out, but then this something like this, you don't have a chance. You don't have a chance at all. So I think we have to just look at why would they do that? Why would they pick that animal?
Well, he said in that interview that they intentionally done it to stir public interest and to get the interest of the people and get the young folk interested in science. He said because with Game of Thrones coming out, it popularized and made the dire wolves popular and cool. So they done this first to generate public interest and to get us talking about it like we are now, because they knew it would stir interest and also maybe attract more investors to get people to invest in this program and get excited about this program and get more funding and support for this program, is what he said on Joe Rogan, was the point.
I don't know.
Even did like a photo op thing. They named these. There's three of them now, but first there was two, and they named them Romulus and Remus.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got they actually produced a female now, and they named her Khaleesi after the queen from the Game of Thrones. and they did like a photo op, and I got a picture of it on my phone. They took the wolves, Romulus and Remus, and put them on that actual throne from the Iron Throne from Game of Thrones, and did like a photo op. So it was all to stir publicity and public interest.
Now, this is something that I think is interesting. If we're going to start cloning and bringing things back, which I honestly think that we're way further along than what we see, I think that this has been done before. I mean, if you go back, the first time that we were told publicly was I was in high school and they had cloned a sheep.
Yeah, I remember that.
I was in high school. It was like Lucy or something they called. I can't remember what they called her.
I think it was Lucy.
But they cloned this sheep. And that's the first time we heard about it. Then it kind of went, you know, in the background for a while. But if they'd done it with that, what would have stopped them from going further? On top of the fact that we have found soft tissue of certain dinosaurs, we have it. I mean, we have lots and lots of bones that are not completely fossilized. That it doesn't make sense why they wouldn't be fossilized if you believe in a, you know, that was 65 million years ago. Then obviously it doesn't make much sense. It kind of blows holes in that theory, which is probably why you're not seeing it in the mainstream media all the time. But we have these things. We found frozen woolly mammoths. We have a full baby woolly mammoth, frozen, hair on and all. You could take that, boom, you got, I mean, I'm not saying the DNA would be perfect. There's going to be fractures in that. But then you have, you know, they found frozen dinosaur with skin on still, like that same way. This stuff has been done. This is genetic manipulation that's talked about in Enoch. It's talked about in Jasher. We see these things where there is animals that were part of that, which is why we went back to that part in the flood where something happened. When God made those animals, he was happy. He said, this is good. This is amazing. God looked at them and they were good. Then right when the flood happened, he said, all the people and all those animals, I am sorry I ever made them. What happened between that time? If we go into the book of Enoch, book of Jasher, it tells us what happened. There's genetic manipulation. And these animals are not what they were at the beginning. You know, that was the attempt of the fallen angels to corrupt God's creation. But we see it going down. Now, my thing is, if we start bringing back the dire wolf, I mean, we start bringing back all these ones that we've glorified in Jurassic Park, things like this. I think it's interesting if you look at the fourth seal in Revelation.
Yeah, the beasts.
So, yeah, I'm going to read it real quick here. It says, and when the Lamb broke the fourth seal, I heard the fourth living being say, come. I looked up and saw a horse whose color was pale green, and his rider's name was Death, and his companion was the grave. These two were given the authority over one-fourth of the earth to kill with the sword, famine, disease, and wild animals. Now, if we look around right now in the world, I mean, we hear about a occasional, like, a tiger attack or a mountain lion attack or something like this, maybe a bear attack. We hear about it, but we're talking about a quarter of the earth between those four things that they just said. A quarter of the earth's going to die from those things, and it's relevant enough to say that wild animals are one of those things that are going to start killing a bunch of people. Look around right now. What wild animals are we talking about? Is there just going to be like a bear army? Or is it going to be something that humans have corrupted that turns on them? And that's my personal opinion. I think that we've gotten to the point where we're playing God so much. We're going to bring these things back. It's going to be a worldwide Jurassic Park type thing. And that might sound crazy to some of you, but look what we're doing right now. We're genetically manipulating something out of a bone and, like you said, a skull and a tooth. We have those things for multiple different dinosaurs. Mm-hmm. We have those things for multiple different other. The short-faced bear, when I said that, the short-faced bear is the biggest bear that has ever lived. If it stood up on its back legs, I'm just over its back leg, like at the very base of it. I'm just over that. It stands up to the top. It would reach your roof standing up. That's the short-faced bear. Well, I mean, these are things they could bring back. If that comes, I mean, you talk about the giants. When the Nephilim come, what does it say? They had insatiable appetites, right? These are things that were the abominations, the genetic manipulations that happened. What happens next?
Well, I got a little curveball to throw in with that. So we interviewed I believe it was a lady, can't remember. But if the story's true, they found a living giant. I think they killed it in Afghanistan.
But L.A. talked about that.
Yeah, there's a lot of people talking about it.
I think that there's been more than just one.
But I'm just saying, if you have that DNA to splice in with
the giant bones,
with these, with
the Smithsonian's holding on to,
you start piecing them together.
Yeah.
Now you're getting something like possible a dinosaur
something that's been
mutated from a normal.
It's the angelic cross, and it turns into something crazy.
Which he said they found the DNA coatings that control size and stuff. He was talking about that. You know, that's one of the things they were messing with the creation of this, you know, dire wolf. And immediately when he said that, I thought of like giants and CRISPR technology. You know, we're already, you know, Elon Musk, you know, his kids were genetically, you know, altered to be, you know, certain ways and stuff. And we're doing that stuff now. So how easy would it be to, okay, well, we're going to manipulate it and we're going to make humans bigger now because, mm-hmm. you know, this or that or whatever. And you can bring back, you know, like the giant strand. But, Glenn Beck, I was listening to him talk about this too. He said that when he dove in and followed the money trail of this Colossus, one of their major investors, it's the CIA, and that they, you know, released like this, you know, I don't know if it was a paper on their website, but he said he found that where they publicly spoke about why they were investing in the Colossus. They said it was like counterintelligence. They said, you know, that this is something being studied throughout the world. And if other countries or enemies of the United States are knowing this information, then we need to know this information. And if they're genetically modifying super soldiers,
DARPA,
super animals, and things like that, then we need to know how to do it ourselves. And they said that they think this application for these animals and genetically modifying animals to their purpose would be ideal in situations that drones would not be. You know, like going in caves and underground, underwater, making certain hybrid animals that they could control and manipulate to do their bidding.
Well, I'm pretty sure there's a movie where they did something like that with rats or squirrels or something like that, and they strapped bombs to it. Mm-hmm. It might have even been a movie.
I think that's real. They use rats to sniff out like landmines.
I'm talking about they sent, like, they were somehow controlling the rats somehow, and the rats would go in and then they would set the bombs off. I want to say it was a movie or something I watched, but as we've noticed with movies,
I think that's real.
They're
Elon
almost
talking about the chips and stuff too. I mean, I think that stuff is possible with the technology we got now.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that scared me though is
that's terrifying.
Is when they Joe Rogan made the comment, it was like, oh, well, you must got a team of geniuses, you know, to rewrite this code and even to take this code and build it and then to splice it in with these gray wolves. You know, it takes some really smart mathematicians. You must got some really genius people working for you. And the guy laughed and he said, no, humans can't do this. And Joe just kind of looks at him. He's like, AI is building this genetic code. And to me, that was a huge red flag.
Because,
mm-hmm. you know, us as Christians, we talk about this super intelligence. This AI would be perfect for demonic spirits because demonic spirits want to embody something. Well, as humans, if we get wise, we can have them expelled and kicked out in the name of Jesus. But these artificial intelligences, these robots, theoretically, if that's something they can embody, they ain't got to worry about being kicked out of. And you got a whole Skynet Terminator thing going on. So how easy would it be?
iRobot.
If a demonic spirit, which is our belief, a disembodied spirit of a Nephilim, to enter into an AI that is writing code right now for genetic species.
They will thirst and not be able to drink. They'll be hungry and not be able to eat. They will always yearn for what they once had. They want a body.
But think about that, though. I mean,
robots. I mean, I'm sorry.
How easy would it be just to put a gene in there, slip it in? Because he even said the humans are not smart enough to write this code.
Yeah.
They wouldn't catch a slip in that, that something would slip in that would change sex like a frog in the movie or do something to totally come and bite us in the ass.
But what? But I'm saying though, if
it's like that iRobot with the Will Smith movie where one of them had a fault. And which he didn't, you know, that character didn't trust the robots. But then the half of them went bad or whatever it was.
But Ghost in the Machine.
So, yeah. So this herein lies the, I guess, my conundrum on this. So, in that regard, and I actually believe that. I believe what Enoch says about that. The departed, the dead spirits of the Nephilim are the demons of this world. That makes sense to me. That just tracks. Because there's no... You don't see just these, oh, this is just such a nice spirit. I just have, my house is haunted by, you know, Glenda, the nice spirit. It just doesn't work
that
way. She
does my dishes for me.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't work. So we hear about possessions. Possessions are never positive. You know, when someone's demon possessed, things are very usually violent. There's supernatural strength. There's supernatural things that happen. People lose control. You know, there's just true possession is scary. So we know that a demon can possess flesh, right? It can possess a person. What does it latch onto? Is it the soul? Is it the being of that person? Is it just because it's a living organism? Because they did go into pigs, right? Yep. In the Bible. So if we say, okay, it just has to have tissue, or does it? I mean, can it just attack? Can it be in one of these iRobot things that Tesla's making, right? These Tesla bots. Could a demon possess a Tesla bot? Or would it have to be one of those things where you have a culmination of human flesh, you know, the old cyborg idea where it's half machine, half RoboCop. Man, which is RoboCop, or is the Neuralink stuff, right?
Right.
You could put something, one of these chips that, you know, opens that doorway. Or that gateway for something to possess a person or something of that nature. I know this is speculation, but I think we have to be on our guard when it comes to these things because we see that all around us. We understand that. I mean, if you're in this realm, if you're listening to this show, you know we believe in the supernatural. You know that we see the supernatural world around us. If we have to be on guard, like it says in Ephesians 6:12, and you know, just so happens right after that, it says we need to put on the armor of God to fight those unseen, those evil spirits and unseen realms and principalities, all these things that we can't see. It said that's why it says the spiritual armor of God. It's not saying it because there's Tim down the road saying bad words to you. That's just not what it is. It's against those spiritual entities.
There are Tims out there, though.
There are Tims out there, but. Sticks and stones.
Be careful. I have a neighbor named Tim.
We all do.
Tim, you're all right, brother. Anyway, if we go through that and we look at this and we see that, you know, the supernatural world's all around us, I feel like the further we go down this technology hole, the more and more that we lose control. I think I read an article about that where... they were working on bringing out a new version of the ChatGPT, the AI program, and they're bringing out a new version. And the original version somehow, I guess, found this out, and it started rewriting and making a secret copy of itself because it didn't want to be deleted.
Well, that makes me think.
Itself,
yes, it did. That's what I mean.
See, that even makes me think of, I mean, you know, throwing in movies. I forget which one it was, but it's like the Russians made an AI that was supposed to do something. Well, it moved its memory or something to some submarine. Forget what movie that is.
Oh, I do know. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So they had to go try to, and the submarine's like spoofing the other subs, making it think they shoot it, and they end up shooting themselves and. All kinds of crazy stuff.
I've seen that. I know what you're talking about. But I just, it makes me wonder, now, where is the line? And I don't know. And maybe somebody out there, if you guys want to comment on this or tell us what you think, I want to know where you think that line is drawn. What can a evil spirit or something of that nature, what can they possess?
I think it has to be a physical flesh or animal that God created, not some metal that might have AI in it. But if you start going, okay, well, me being possessed in the flesh is going to create the AI to where I can implant the AI in people, and now me being the demon in the flesh has control over the AI, then now I have control over the people, because just like we were talking about that little sleight of hand slip that nobody, we have a backdoor key that now I can take control over your body. Maybe if it's, it makes me think of like the old school, I think Black Ops 1 Call of Duty game, where in the campaign mode, it's like the guy, it's kind of like a RoboCop. It's all synthetic. The guy thinks it, his arm moves.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then they take over, and now he has no control over that robotic arm anymore, and they're doing whatever they want to with it.
Well, in that regard, they
I think it would be more in that.
But you
that
have to,
way.
And it's possible, but you have to look. They now are manufacturing, for lack of a better word, or you could say, I hate using the word creating, because they're not taking anything that isn't, they have to, something has to come from something, right? They can't just, ta-da, there it is. But they are making brains. They're making, you know, they can grow ears and different things on the back of rats, you know, and different. I mean, there's the genetic manipulation that we're able to do is at such a level where they could take and make a synthetic brain, basically, and slap it inside. It's tissue. It's living tissue, but it's not human.
I think it would be more of like the soul part.
Well,
because does
a pig have a soul?
Well, I don't think so.
But I mean, and those, they went into pigs.
Right. I don't know. Because I was thinking, you know, what are they trying to control? You know, are they just controlling the dead flesh that dies when you die? Or are they trying to control the spirit of the person?
I think they just want the meat suit.
It might be just the meat suit. Because,
well, they used to do.
Well, that makes sense. Because if they're just trying, we'll say the soul is your spirit, right? So they're floating spirits, so they already have their soul of the demon soul floating around that they're trying to possess a body, so they're whole, so they can do stuff. I could,
yeah.
That makes more sense.
Which this guy I follow, he's not like a, you know, a content creator or nothing, but he's got a lot of followers, and he's always talking and sharing his thoughts and stuff. He's a pretty sharp dude, but I'm bringing him on the Prometheus lens actually this weekend. I don't know when I'm going to release it, probably soon, because it's a timely thing, but he was talking about these dire wolves, so I'll give you like a little spoiler about what he's going to talk about. Good. Tune in, because he tells it a lot better than I do. But he had shared a picture of these dire wolves, them sitting on that Game of Thrones throne, and then a couple of historic pictures of Romulus and Remus, because that's what they're named.
Mm-hmm.
Suckling on the lichen, you know, the great mother wolf, you know, and kind of shared some of the history of Rome and given some context to the name of these dire wolves that was given to them. And he had this great long post, and it was really insightful, made you think. But he was saying, you know, everybody's getting hung up on the genetics and the creation. Yes, this is days of Noah, you know, people playing God and recreating and, you know, doing these types of things like they were doing back in Genesis 6. He says, but I think a lot of people's overlooking end times prophecy. He said, I could be wrong. I could be looking too far into this. He said, but just entertain this. He said, in the book of Revelation, he said, it talks about, you know, this beast system, these 10 kings. this city, you know, on 10 hills. That was Rome. He said, Rome didn't go anywhere, folks. He said it went under the auspice of the Catholic Church. He said, and then you have Donald Trump talking about, you know, joining with the European Union. Mexico can now be a part of the United States, and now he's inviting Canada to join. He said, you're starting to get this assembly of these 10 nations and this, you know, end time system. He said, you know, and he said, is this like a sign or a signaling, he said, to God's people that this is the return of Rome, the two brothers, Romulus and Remus? He said, or is this like a foreshadowing, gotcha, you know, the ones in the know, hey, here's your sign that it's time to move, the time is now, the rise of Rome has begun, the beast system. And he went into really good detail and used a lot of scripture, and it was very thought-provoking, to say the least. And then he brought up that scripture in Revelation, you know, that the false prophet gave life to the image. He said, could this be that image? It's definitely something that was an image in our mind, and just drawings and thoughts, but it's been given life now.
I mean, the hard part is we won't know until it's over, because I mean, we all have different ideas of what that's going to look like. But
it's definitely,
I think,
thought provoking.
It is, but I think that's the whole thing, right? Is so much a prophecy, and I'd say 90% of it is always retrospective. We look back and say, oh, there it is.
Yeah, 100%, I'd say.
Oh, well, I mean, there's a couple things that, you know, people knew were coming and whatnot, and or God would, you know, give people little hints. He'd come to the shepherds in the field and say, hey, you know, it's happened. Over there, he's born. It's happening. This is what Isaiah said. And he'd give them a little hint. They go, oh, there it is. And then they go and tell everybody, and people are getting the hint. And some people cake on, some people don't. But I think it's pretty crazy, because that makes sense. And the Rome thing makes sense to me. I struggle so much with, you know, so many people have speculation about who the beast will be, who those 10 nations, 10 kings are. There's so many different ideas. I think it's, this is my personal opinion, and this is not to offend anybody or offend whoever, I mean, you know, people you talk to or anything. But my personal opinion is, I think that we as an American people think we're so amazing, think we're so great, that we have to be the center of it, that we have to be, when we're not talked about at all in scripture, and other countries are very, very specifically talked about. The U.S. is never talked about. It wasn't a country then. And so, I mean, maybe that's why. Maybe they're insinuating some things like this. But I truly believe that this will be like what Rome was back then, where our country at some point is going to fizzle out.
Yeah. And that's what a lot of people argue, that, you know, that America is the new Rome, because all the Roman architecture and gods in the capital, and the Masons and all that stuff, bringing all this stuff over here. And, you know, like you said, we'll never know, but
I'm not saying it's not possible.
Yeah, there's definitely people that's brought up some, in the very least, thought-provoking things. Even when I talked with Steve Quayle on that episode, he talked about how he believed that America was Mystery Babylon, and the Statue of Liberty, you know, is Apollo, the light bearer, Lucifer. And in Revelations, it talks about, you know, his chains, you know, were broken, and highlighted that at the foot of the Statue of Liberty is the broken chains.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I'm not one of those people that comes out and says this is how it is, but definitely some correlations and things to think about, for sure.
It is.
But I agree, yeah. I mean, yeah, we're definitely not mentioned by name, you know, in the Bible, and we do have a tendency to look at things in our modern context and put ourselves in places that we not, but not, that necessarily we are not.
Well, back when I did the Gog and Magog little episode, I forget what Britain was called. Ten something.
I don't remember.
But it was whatever it was the land of ten, which is where Britain come from. As it went through its different stages. But so Gog and Magog is kind of like the Middle East, Russia, Asian peninsula, you know, Turkey. The whole Asian
Middle
area.
East.
Yeah, the Middle East and Russia, China, all that up there. They all come together and war against Israel. Right? And it says, we'll just say Britain, but I forget the name, but it says, so Britain and all their young cubs look at Gog and Magog and question, why are you attacking Israel, but do nothing about it? And we kind of just put together Britain and its young cubs in today's world would be Australia, America, all the little
colonies
that Great Britain had way back, you know, in the 1600s, you know, 1700s, for, you know, when we got our
independence.
But so if, you know, that would bring the rest of the world pretty much into. But we have no, we don't, we just kind of set back, and that's that whole everybody pulls away from Israel, and then God steps in and wipes Gog and Magog out. But, and does that happen before the tribulation? Does it is it part of the tribulation, or is it the final end of the tribulation?
Before the 1,000 years?
Before the 1,000-year reign, and it's just told in different stories. Just kind of like you're talking about Abram. That's like a pre-story of Christ, of Jesus. They had to send him off to Egypt. Mm-hmm. So King Herod wouldn't, wouldn't kill him. Herod.
Yep. For Jesus, yeah.
And
it
you
was.
See that again with Moses too.
Yeah,
you know, kill the firstborn babies. He was sent away in an ark down the Nile.
Yeah, in a basket or whatever it was.
You have repeating themes. I think that, you know, that's one of those things about prophecy. It repeats.
It's pretty wild.
And you see that these nations being formed that you were talking about even now, because I had a guy we was talking about gold and silver. And how the dollar is just depleting by the day, and how he's encouraging people to invest in silver and gold. And he talked about BRICS, how the world is going away from, you know, the petrodollar, America. You know, we used to have the most powerful currency because that's how you had to buy oil. So all these countries had to get the U.S. dollar to purchase this fuel. But now BRICS is forming, and
it won't last.
So you have Russia, you have China, and you have all these other
it's pretty much nations, the Axis nations are forming BRICS.
Together and making their own, got their own currency, and they're starting to take over the petro.
Well, to not get on politics, but a little bit of politics with this. Well, what happened was America went away from the gold standard. We had all this gold to back our dollar.
Oh, yeah.
Well, now the standard for our dollar is our military. That's what controls
our dollar. Military-industrial complex.
Well, they manipulate the dollar because, I mean, who really in the world can take on the United States in a fight? Nobody. I mean, they've done... And it's pretty wild if you get on YouTube and watch, which it's all just, you know, it's like a little cartoonish thing and the guy's talking. It's kind of like somewhat of an AI voice, you know, cartoonish kind of thing. but it talks about you can take pretty much all the major countries and they all join together and try to fight us if you take nukes out. I mean, you start a nuke war, everybody's dead. But they still can't beat us because of where our location is. We have two giant oceans that separate us from everything else. When it comes to Canada and Mexico, we'd walk right over them. Our union of neighbors is the only thing that keeps pretty much peace on our northern and southern border. So it's our military that keeps the dollar where it's at. And then they manipulate the dollar at their will because it's all about stock markets and everything else. They know, the government knows what's going to happen before it happens. And so they buy and sell. Then the thing happens and then they sell or buy after the fact to make their profits. It's, I always looked at it as you still have your kings and queens of old and your little minions and peons, which would be what most of us are. They just have it in a not kings and queens view anymore. It's still, well, we voted for our leaders, which is still manipulated. We voted
for our puppets.
Yeah, which are still
our mascots.
Which are still our kings and queens of old, and they keep us in line with our taxes. Because you start being able to put money away, and you know, next thing you know, you're a multimillionaire. Then you can do whatever you want. You don't have to work. But to keep the country going, people have to work. So what are we going to do? We're going to tax you more, or this is going to happen, or all of a sudden stock market crashes. So all your money you had in the stock market, your millions of dollars are now worthless. You know, and then it's the dollar. You can't eat a dollar bill, and you can't eat gold and silver. But that's just my outlook on the whole thing, which that was a super sidebar.
So dire wolves, eh?
Yeah. get you one as a pet.
Yeah.
With a piece of gold.
With a piece of gold. But don't
eat the dire
wolf. Don't let the king or queen come around because they'll kill it. That was a Game of Thrones thing.
Yeah, I never watched
that. They killed all like the dire wolves or whatever because one of them was jealous or something. I don't know.
And then we brought him back to life.
Hashtag true story. Hashtag look it up.
Hashtag there's movies about this. Learn your lesson from the movies.
Hashtag
keep digging.
Boom.
Keep digging.